I start tonight with two scriptures that maybe at first won't sound like they have any use in my sermon, but you'll see as I continue along. And I'd like to start by reading Ecclesiastes. Twelfth chapter, and I'm going to read the 13th and the 14th verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the second scripture is in James. First chapter, and I'm going to read the 27th verse. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Today, as we sat here this morning, I had a lot of thought. A lot of things were brought to my knowledge. I should bring tonight as a message. If I could turn to 1 Peter, 5th chapter and the 8th verse. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'd like to go further and turn to First Nephi, the second chapter. And I'm going to read the 63rd to the 78th verses. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And this is Lehi's vision. And it also led by the fountain, by the head of the fountain, unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about, as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about, and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth, and it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron and did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. As we know, the rod of iron is the word of God. I'd like to go to the 4th chapter of Nephi. I'm going to read 38 to the 41st verses. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast to it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them into blindness to lead them away to destruction. So we find that if we hold on to the word of God, the temptations of the adversary and the fiery darts of the adversary won't overpower us. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read part of the 10th chapter. I'm going to read the first verse to the 12th verses. Moreover, brethren, I would that ye should not be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happens unto them for examples. And they are written for our abomination, upon whom the ends of the world are come. If you notice, speaking of the children of Israel, they came through a lot, and they had a lot of miracles. They saw a lot of things. And I'm sure that when they were baptized, and I'm sure that the things they saw, they knew that God was there, and they knew that of a truth that He was helping them. And now, part of this right here was brought to me today. I walked in my house after the service. My grandma's sitting there shaking her head, and she says, "Tell me about it." She says, "I looked around," and she says, "I thought everything was going so good." She says, "It seemed like we was just growing." But I want to read the next verse. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." As I read before, Satan is about, especially now and especially to this church. And when we get discouraged, he uses that against us. Sometimes we get the feeling that we're doing all right. But notice it says we have to take heed because we can fall. That's when we'll be tempted of Satan. The next verse said, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I'd like to turn to the 24th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to be reading in the 4th verse. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and the earth and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now let's skip over to the 21st verse. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The church is having troubles. I should say I'm having troubles. I'm always speaking to me when I'm up here too. And we haven't even begun to see part of the things that this is foretold in the magnitude that it will come. But the Lord has made a way of escape, and I want to read out of Alma, the 16th chapter. I want to read the 120th verse to the 122nd verse. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. And that's sort of my sermon tonight. Is praying for one another. I also want to read 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start in the 50th verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again to the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out, and if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye all have witnessed. And ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. And that, I read that because I feel that was a commandment that he gave us there. And I know it was. I'd like to read in the 6th chapter of Moroni. I'm going to start in the 4th verse. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray. and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. So they met together off. I sometimes think we're lucky if we get 2 times a year. And that's why I read Ecclesiastes that serving the Lord should be our whole life. That's our whole duty. But sometimes I'm not willing to give up worldly things that would keep me from coming here for a day, two, with my brothers and sisters to pray for ourselves, for the church, for the people who are just starting. Those that are weak in the faith, that have just been baptized, that are susceptible to being tempted to Satan and led away. And time again, it's been said to us over this pulpit that as the time goes, we must meet together more often. And I haven't done it, and I know we haven't, like we should. And it hasn't been just from our apostles and our ministry, has been from God that said that, and He had a reason for it. And that reason was, we see the results. How much longer do we have to wait before we find out that, hey, maybe we should be doing something? We've had plenty of witnesses in this local alone. I'd like to go further and read in the book of Helaman. And this is when the people were... Well, I'll read it. I'm going to start in the 29th verse. In the 15th and first year of the reign of the judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church, not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. Now this was a great evil which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. As I read earlier, the many commenced in the path that led to the tree of life. And I know that we all have. And that some have fallen away. But take notice what fasting and prayer does. What did they do when they fasted and prayed? They waxed stronger and stronger in their humility and firmer in the faith of Christ. They had that faith that they didn't let go because they believed. And all through time, it's been a commandment to fast and pray and meet together. And when people have a problem, what did? They met together and fasted and prayed. And the Lord took care of that problem because they humbled themselves before God. You know, and I'm at fault too. Until we can get enough love within ourselves to care for us, for everybody in this church. Some get discouraged because there's only 6 apostles, but we ain't willing to get on our knees and pray about it. We're just willing to sit there and let it go and watch it. And then say, oh, I wish we would have done something about it after it's all done. And I hope we can get together more often and give up a little time. Give up a little time for something that's most important in our lives. It is our life. I'm going to go to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Now I'm going to start in the second verse. Yea, they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact in all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast as I have chosen, and this is the Lord speaking, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? In these next verses is a promise from the Lord. When people afflict their soul and yield themselves to him, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put it forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the soul, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And that's a promise from the Lord. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say, and I believe it because I know just of myself, that when I fast and pray, I've always gotten an answer. The Lord's always said something or done something about what I've been fasting and praying about. And tonight, I know that if we plan to go farther, the world's going to get harder. I know it. You can see it now. Temptations are building around. They're growing. And if we're going to remain strong and steadfast, it's going to take more dedication. And if we want to see any of these problems that we're a little hurt about, these things that depress us, if we want to see something done with them, we have the means. He showed us. He's told us what has to be done. And a lot of modern day revelation has come out. And I quoted one of them here. Only by your sincere fast and prayers, joined by righteous obedience, shall ye inherit the security found in my Zion. And if we get together and pray like we should and fast, not once or twice a year, off. If we're willing to give up something, I'm sure the Lord is going to bless us abundantly. The next question is, can we take blessings? Do we want them? I I think we do. And if we do this, we'll also be adding to building up a Zion. Because that's what it's going to take to build up Zion. It's going to take dedication. And I know that I've lacked in it. And as a people, we lack. But I know that there's only one way we're going to ever succeed in getting this church out of some of the things that we feel are matter with it, and that's getting down on our knees and praying about it. And not just for 1 hour, 2 hours. Giving Him a day, 2 days, however long it takes. It can't be done overnight. Well, the Lord can do it overnight, but just saying, okay, I prayed about it once or twice, and that's going to be good enough. We got to give Him a little bit. We've got to show Him that we really care, and we got to show Him and give Him some of our effort. I'd like to read Jeremiah 6th chapter. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Are we going to be that way? Are we going to turn down the good way, the promise that we've had? We've had a promise that when we do these things, we'll be blessed. And that promise was from the Lord. And He promised blessings if we reach out and put in our all and our might. If we used our lives like it said, it's our whole duty. I'm going to close with a verse in 1 Nephi. Going to the 3rd chapter. As I read this today, my heart can help but long think. This is one of my favorite verses. I'm going to start 185th verse. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And that's talking about the Book of Mormon. And in them shall be written, my gospel saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they who seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And there's that word again, that sentence again, if they endure to the end, they'll be lifted up in the last day. And I hope and I pray that we'll learn how follow the commandments that He's given us and long and not wait for anything else to happen, but to take steps before. We'll not wait till someone else has to leave our midst to decide that maybe we should have done something. Maybe we should get together to pray for each other's strength, for our own strength, to build our faith, to hold on to that rod of iron, which is the Word of God. That we won't sit back and watch everything happen, that we'll take steps to stop more of our brethren whom we love. Day when the signs and wonders that will deceive the very elect come that we know of a surety. Because we've fasted and we've grown in the strength of the Lord, and we know. Because we have His strength there, because we have yielded ourselves to God in our heart. And along with that, we shall be building Zion. And there's a promise that when we long to build Zion, we shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. So I pray and I hope that we can learn to gather together more often because we love one another. Because we love God's work, that's our life. Because we don't want to see any more people that we love and the people that we talk to go away. But we ourselves have grown strength in the Lord. And I'm sure the gifts of the Lord would be prevalent when we decide that we want to yield ourselves to God. Thank you.